Welcome to the Quality Time Podcast. I'm your host, Eric Woodworth, and we've made it through the month of October and all those Halloween films, and finally we're on the other end, and it's Fansgiving. Yes, Fansgiving. It's where we have listeners go and pick out the movies that we're going to do this month, and based purely on how much we like you, if you bought merch, or we just think you're a sweetheart for interacting with us on our social media pages and stuff like that. But this week, the pick is from Charlotte DeCentra. She's a local comedian in the Baltimore area. You can always catch her up at the Wits End every Tuesday night, working her craft. She's a young up and comer, so go check her out. She also does a live stream show called House Rules, and you should go check that out. They have it on the YouTubes and stuff like that. And anyway, give her a follow. It's awesome. Check her out. So without further ado, thank you for being here once again. And crank that volume up to 11. And get ready for Poultrygeist.
Kiddies, it's your old pal, the Crypt Keeper. This is a big shout out to my friends at Quality Time Podcast.
Well, hey, listen, if it makes you feel any better, let me tell you how my prom night went, okay? I guess I have to hearken back, because before prom, there is what's called, I went to Oakland Mills, we had a competition called the King of the Mill, which is basically like a boys' beauty show contest, right? You go up, hot people, like you choose your homecoming prince or your prom prince, right? And then and then there's other awards given. There's a talent section. It's basically a male beauty pageant for our school, right? So I entered it. I did stand-up comedy as my thing. It's the first time I ever performed stand-up. And if this tape exists, I will burn any copy that ever comes into my possession. Yeah. I did impressions, and I think about what I did, right? Just and the memory of it, knowing that someone has a VHS tape that exists with it, gives me an anxiety and a sickness in my stomach that I can't undo. I mean, I'm not lying. This is a 2002 Eric Woodworth doing stand up. Hey, I will say though, when I did it, it fucking crushed. All right, I crushed this stand up. It's bad. It's all hacky jokes. It's not good. But anyway,
I'm so proud of you.
Fast forward, right? Jeremy's joining right now. Fast forward as this all unravels. At the end of it, they give it to the prom prince, right? And they say, "This is going to be your prom prince. This is your this is that." But I won most humorous. So I won I was a prom prince, but for the award was most humorous. Okay, so yeah. I asked a very pretty girl. Her name was Nicole. And she said yes. And I was like, fuck yes. I was very excited about going to prom with Nicole, because she was out of my league, but I was like, I'm a fucking prom prince, baby. Right? Like, I was drunk with power. So it gets to the day before the prom. And then Nicole calls me up and she says, "Hey, listen, I'm not going to prom." I was like, "So my date dumped me going to prom a day before prom." Okay, I went to prom by myself. Well, that's not true. My friend Bobby, who his date also didn't have a date, so I met up with him, and then we were kind of pseudo date, whatever. We barely liked each other, and she accepted that we would not be alone. And I was like, okay, we'll go do that, right? Hey, do you know what I did when I showed up there, though? Well, I looked over at the dance floor, and the girl who said she wasn't going to prom was there.
Aww,
she was there. She's just like, I just prefer not to be associated with you. So
that breaks my heart. I'm so sorry.
So she did go. She did, in fact, go. But it was just important that she not go to the prom with me. That was important for me to know.
I'd go to prom with you.
Oh, thanks. Ashley, please. Come on. Stop.
If it makes you feel any better.
Yeah, yes, we heard you the whole time. We heard you.
Does it sound better that way?
I like it that way. Good. Yeah, it sounds good. I mean, I only see your, like, just your mouth, which is pretty fun.
Does it look good this way?
It's just your...
Do I look good?
I like that now your nose is not exposed to you.
I would love it, because I've never met Jeremy in person. I would love it if that's how it was every time. And I'm like, I don't know what Jeremy
looks like. That is my face look.
Jeremy is actually the reverse neighbor from Home Improvement. This is
see the mouth?
He's just a mouth down.
Heidi,
I'm new at this computer thing. What am I doing?
Oh, I love this so much. Hey, well, if it makes you feel better, Eric, we did have a homecoming, and I was voted on homecoming court, like, to represent the senior class for potential homecoming queen. Mm-hmm. And I was voted as a joke. I found out while we were literally naming who got homecoming queen, the girl next to me bumped me and goes, I know I shouldn't be telling you this, like, right now, but we put you in because we know the guy who's with you hates your guts, so we did it to piss him off. I was like,
awesome.
Did you go, hey, this is how the movie Carrie started?
I know. Well, I was like, oh my God, I'm totally not going to shoot up this goal. It's fine.
Oh man, I've had the farts like you wouldn't believe today.
Jeremy.
Oh man.
I want one on air.
I think if I had put that up to the microphone, you would have heard it. Wow.
I think I would have wafted your hair back had you heard it.
I think you could have smelled it through your computer. Wouldn't that be great if we actually had fart phones?
Smell-o-vision, if you will.
Yeah. Well, there's no vision to it. It's a fartophone. So you only smell people's farts.
Yeah,
so.
Somebody calls it smell-o-vision. No. No. No.
Instead of like 3D or 4D, it's like 5D.
So what can you smell with it? Only farts. That's what you're going to smell.
No.
You're not going to smell flowers and pizza and shit. It's only farts.
It doesn't make any other smells.
But you get five different kinds of farts. Extra shitty. Extra sulfurous.
I'll say you've got food-based farts.
Mostly one. Lettuce fart.
This one's called the vegan setting.
Ooh, coffee farts.
No one's ever finished vegan setting to completion.
Ugh,
but this one's bad. Called It Was the Dog.
I also love that as I am expanding my friend base and women find things out about me or they get to know me, they start coming to me in secret after everybody else leaves parties and things and they'll go, so I've heard stories about how you sometimes shit yourself. And I'm like, that's right. And they go, can I tell you my story? So you know how like the Me Too movement is like, you can come to me and tell me about your rape. This is like girls coming to me and be like, can I tell you about when I shit my pants at this open mic?
Oh, yeah.
I feel good. I feel like an advocate for females being able to poop. It's been great. I feel like I'm seen.
Are we ready to kick this off? Welcome to Quality Time, guys, gals, ladies, gents. My name is Eric Woodworth. Thank you so much for joining us on another enthralling episode of the Quality Time podcast. I'm joined, of course, first by my brother, Jeremy P. Woodworth. Jeremy, how are you, sir?
I don't know who you're talking about.
No, who is it? Is it Lloyd Kaufman?
It's me, Lloyd Kaufman.
Yeah, I knew it. I knew it was. I could smell it was Lloyd Kaufman.
I'm glad you paid me $2 to be on the show, so here I am.
That felt good. I'm also joined by the very lovely, the very talented Miss Ashley Pontius. How are you, love?
Oh, hi, sir. I'm good.
I guess I need to mention this. So, if guys, I mentioned to Ashley a while ago that I don't like being called daddy. Then it bothers me, and I can tell she's having trouble. No, she's trying not to do it, and I told her don't stop doing it. I don't like it, but you can continue doing it. So, listeners, encourage her to continue saying hi, daddy, and I will. I'll adapt.
You know who he hates the most saying it, don't you? All of his bastard kids around town.
I get it. Like, here's the thing. Eric said to me, like, look, I hate to tell you this, but look, I'm the father of two daughters. He's like, it's very weird for me to hear this from you. And I was like, yeah, I get that. I'm the youngest of three daughters, and my father wants to kill himself every time he hears me. So I know what you mean.
Wait a second. I saw an episode of Next Generation where Worf's son goes back in time because he thinks that Worf messed up his childhood. So maybe, Ashley, you changed your name. You actually are Eric's real daughter.
Oh!
This is like an episode of Star Trek.
No!
I'm very upset by this because another comedian stopped me the other day on the street to tell me that Eric and I look like we could be siblings. And I... And I was like, that's great.
Yeah.
The only thing they said to me that was the interaction.
Yeah, I will say before our old RIP, Kim Ambrose, now Callahan, the one thing that we said when Kim was our sister, nobody bought it. But you, they're like, yeah, that looks like that one looks like it fell off the Woodworth tree.
that is not wrong. I have the social skills of both of you and the body shape of at least one of you. So like, yeah, like I think it's a fair comparison. Oh, I think that's accurate.
I let myself go. I'm gonna be buried in a piano crate, so
you wait, Jer. I'll shave my head and wear my glasses next week and you won't be able to tell the difference.
If only I didn't have a job that ate up so much calories I keep staying at the same weight. I could be getting fatter.
You might be my best friend, Jeremy. What's happening?
Ashley, you went to a party yesterday, correct? Right? You went
to a Friday night.
You went to a get together with one of our guests, Mr. Brandon Lescure from the Midsommar episodes. If you go back in our archives a few weeks back, he does a horror movie marathon kind of thing over like the whole weekend, and you went to Friday night, and you said you had some stories to tell. And I know nothing about what you're about to share with us, except that when you started it, you're like, I got some juicy bits. I said, lay it on me on the pod so our listeners get to experience it with us at the same time. So, Ashley Pontius, you have the floor.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Poppy. I had a great time. Again, Brandon, if you're listening, I cannot thank you enough for having me. The food was amazing. The decorations were out of this world. Like, he went above and beyond for this party. It was fantastic. And may I also first just take the time to say, if any of his guests are listeners, thank you for tolerating me, because I wish I could go back in time and undo what I did.
What have you pulled a classic Ashley public foible?
I just wish that more people could understand my sense of humor.
I mean, for me, I usually get away with the N-word at least 10 times before people start punching me.
Ashley just came in. She's like, hey, what's up? Blue Lives Matter, everybody. So she walked to the party.
Oh, man. I'm just like, thin blue line, and just do a giant line of Coke and smash his coffee table.
Every John Hughes film from the 80s, you go into a black bar and all of a sudden the needle just goes,
oh, gosh. Here she is.
Well, you know, that's so funny, Jeremy, because no, I did not use that word, but that was the reaction I was getting most of the night.
Ooh, got the N-word reaction. That's good.
All right.
Yeah. So let's start off with the first thing that happened. So I was semi-early to the party because I am, what is the word? I am just so dedicated to when you put a time on an invite, I show up. Like, I am there. So I'm very organized. So I show up. I'm on time. Two other people there with me as guests. And the one girl starts to get into her very cute, teeny tiny book bag. And she has this mischievous smile. And she goes, guess what I have? And like a psycho who doesn't know her audience, I yell out, drugs! You got drugs? Everybody gets quiet.
Tight, drugs.
Terrified. I'm like, drugs? Holy shit, you've got drugs!
So she had really good drugs.
Depends on who you ask. So she stops and looks very startled, and she finishes pulling it out. And she goes, I have a Nintendo Switch. And everybody's staring at me. And I was like, no, that's so cool. Like, do we not do drugs anymore? Like, is that not a thing?
You lean in like,
so everybody's doing coke off this Nintendo Switch like 2 minutes later.
It even opens like it's got the flat. Yeah, it got the little mirror. It's great.
So, which is my favorite Nintendo Switch game. So.
And Chasing the Dragon. It was so embarrassing and so awkward for everybody. And I like, why did I do that? If that was the only thing I did, who cares? No, it got worse later in the night. So then I meet another very lovely, kind young lady who I notice, because she is not only extremely fit and beautiful, she is wearing a very interesting pair of leggings that have cuts all, like a pattern all down them, so you can kind of see a little bit of flesh. And I'm like, okay, go you. So being the kind and complimentary woman that I am, I go up to her and go, oh my god, I love your leggings. And she's like, oh my god, thank you. And then the idiot took over and I go, I go, oh my god, don't shit yourself in those. And she goes, I'm sorry.
Normal next question.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm like, look, if you shit yourself in those, it comes out in the pattern. And she's like, I'm gonna go.
Ashley leads in. Hey, guess what? That's why I bring these little OxyClean pens. Gets the shit right out of the tops of them every time, you know.
But what kind of functioning human being looks at another person's outfit and goes, you know what? If she shits in those, it'll look like a Play-Doh factory. Like, what? Wrong with me? And it just got to the point where people were just like horrified, and this girl sees like something happening, so another girl comes over and she's like, are you okay? Like, is everything good? And I was like, I just told this girl not to shit herself. And it just spiraled, so everyone at the party was playing telephone and just heard how I told another girl not to crap herself at the party. So I left by midnight, made it halfway through the 24-hour marathon.
Well, that rocks.
Sad thing is that you held back, and what you meant to say was, if you have a really bad period, all the blood will be coming out of these holes on your legs.
You know what? That kind of makes sense, but I'll tell you, as someone who has a uterus, it doesn't quite squirt out that way. It just kind of sticks
to
you.
It doesn't come out like the elevator in The Shining?
No, it comes out in globs, or it kind of just sticks to you like super glue. So there's your National Geographic fact.
Oh, well, very good.
You hear that same loop? You hear that same loop in your head that says they're all gonna laugh at you. So
yeah, nobody was laughing. That was a huge disappointment.
Now, Ashley, way to go. Congrats, by the way. Thank you for staying on brand. That's what I like about you. I feel very similar in public situations. I think Jeremy is just as much. We're not allowed places a lot of times. And I do say the things that make people very uncomfortable. So kudos to you. Is this the time to try out our new segment? I have a little story, but should we try out our new segment?
We can, sure.
All right, it's a nice little short segment we have here. This is called, this is Ashley. Well, I'll just do it right here. Here we go. Here we are. Let's cue up some music. Welcome to Honest Ash. This is where Ashley tells a life truth about her life and then shares it with our listeners. Now here's Ashley Pontius.
Oh, hello, listeners. This is Ashley. What I wanted to share with you today is that sometimes after using my vibrator, I like to let it lay out for a little bit and watch that pussy paint dry. This has been Honest Ashley.
Join us next week for more Honest Ashley. Solid Honest Ash bit, our new weekly thing that we'll try out here. Listeners, let us know if you enjoy the Honest Ash weekly segment. You don't really have a choice. We'll just keep doing it until we're tired of it more than anything. But more importantly, join us next week while Ashley airs out her vibrator like it's a fresh sausage getting some age on it. So Ashley's vibrator, get it in you.
you've become our new Josh Spiegel, except you're not a Jew.
Yes, that's exact. Hey, that's exactly what I was thinking. Okay, hey, you two, I got a story. Banter amongst yourselves. I'm going to grab a beer real quick because I need one for this shit.
Damn it. Don't leave us alone!
I love that he had a ton of time before we got started to get a beer, but he's like, I'm just, you know what, after listening to Ashley talk about how disgusting her puss is, I need to go get another beer. So that's nice.
Which really, really motivates me to get like a good compilation cat video of all these cats that are wet, just to mix it with Cardi B's wet ass pussy song.
I love that song. I hum that song and I get kicked out of work meetings because they'll be trying to strategize our next move for the company. And I'm like, can I fuck it? And then I just see that I've been muted in the meeting.
And then you actually start masturbating and you forget, oh shoot, we're in a meeting.
Yeah, it's really hard because a lot of my bosses are middle-aged married men who you can tell have let themselves go, and I'm just like, oh god, spilt. Like,
the funny thing is, girls can get away with it, whereas guys, they just get fired.
Yeah. Oh my god, like who doesn't want to see me, a girl like me, every day at work, just flicking her bean in the office meeting? Like, I am every day.
Sorry, I just... my bad.
Oh,
I had something
back.
Caught in my throat. Hey, no. So first of all, let me go back, because you said, oh, Eric had so much time to get a fucking beer before. First of all, I drank two whole drinks since I sat down here, because it's been a fucking day. And I don't plan on stopping drinking through this podcast, because... Let me strap yourselves in for what you're about to experience here.
Oh,
ready?
My.
So, Jeremy, my sweet brother, and as we've mentioned before, our sweet mother today is closing on her house Thursday. So she's moving in with my sweet sister, and my brother-in-law and my sister and my mom are going in on a new house, which means closing on this house. Next month, they close on their house, and then they also have to move into their new house. It's a lot of moving parts. It's a lot of shit. Well, some of our old listeners, if you've been with us from the start, you'll know that Jeremy and I came from a hoarder household, okay? And mostly our dad, but listen, mom's got the bug. Mom's not full-blown in the hierarchy of hoarders in our family. It goes mom, Jeremy, big gap dad, okay? Okay, just to be clear, Jeremy is a bit of a hoarder himself, but not nearly as bad. So, I had to help my mom move the rest of the stuff out of her house today. Now the new house that they've closed on, that they can't move into for another month, okay? Her section of the house is two bedrooms and then two other rooms, okay? So she has a half of the house that's two bedrooms and then two other rooms, okay? A kitchen room and like a living room, okay? We packed up two 28-foot-long trailers worth of items, furniture, and put them into not one, not two, but three rental storage units that we packed to the fucking brim. And I mean, there was not enough. You couldn't fit a goddamn sheet in two out of the three of these that we had, right?
Jesus. Yeah, but that's mostly furniture.
It wasn't mostly furniture. It was a lot of shit, Jeremy. So this is what happens. Well, my sister and my brother-in-law, they can't be mean to mom and say, hey, we just need to throw this out. So I designated myself. I was like, we're going to talk about what's trash today, right now. And mostly because it's not just moving it to this. It's in 3 weeks. We need to move all of this back into a space that it's not going to fit in, right? It doesn't make any sense, right? So I was going through things. I was just like, what is this? I was like, this is going in the trash. I was just like, Eric, that can't go in the trash. I was like, you have three fucking rooms and you've got full storage units. Look at the translated. Do you think these three storage units will fit in the three new rooms of your new house? Do you think, just tell me math wise, where do you put all this in there? Okay. No matter what it is. And then she was like, she was clearly getting upset. So I was like, let's make some hard decisions today so we don't have to make them again in 3 weeks. Cause this is a lot of work for us. She was like, well, it's hard for me. I was like, I don't fucking care if it's hard for you. Okay. And so I had to be mean to my mother. And then I keep looking over at Rachel and Tom, my sweet sister and my brother-in-law, and they're like, you're doing great, man. You're doing great. Like that. So I did convince my mom to throw out a bunch of furniture and some other stuff, but still loaded up a lot. I'll tell you what, listen, there was one thing. We had this back shed, and she was like, all this stuff's got to go with us. And I looked at all of it. I was like, this looks like straight-up trash. I don't see anything that's salvageable. So I started loading up some of these choice items into the trash truck. And good old, hey, mom found one of the things in the trash truck. She was like, what is this? I was like, you better, don't you fucking take that out of there. Don't you fucking take that out of there. Don't take it out of there. Don't take it out of there. She was like, no, this is my angel tree. I was like, your angel tree? This is not the first, not the second. It's the third Christmas fake tree that she must bring because this is the quote unquote, this one has all my angels on it.
Now she got a shit ton of Christmas stuff.
There's so much Christmas stuff.
It's because it was the last time she was happy.
Yeah.
No. Some of that shit in the shed might have had like personal reel to reels and cassettes.
Hey, I'll tell you. Hey, the reel to reel player. That's in my car. I have the reel to reel player.
Do you have any reels?
I don't have any reels for it, but I have the reel to reel player, which is pretty rad. So I was like, Mom, you're never going to take care of this. You're never going to play reel to reels. Give it to me. I will give this a good home and keep it and like actually play audio off it one day. So
I just want stuff that's transferred from the old days onto like MP3s. That's all.
Mm-hmm. I have the reel to reel. It's in my car right now. And I can hook it up into my sound system. We can rip it. Anyway, we don't even fucking talk about this because I also carried hoarding things back to my house. Leave me alone. But also, hey, this is the other thing. I'll tell you one other thing that really that made my mom mad earlier today. And so there's this. I also play this game because growing up with hoarder parents, you play this fun thing called, hey, can I just have this? Will you give it to me? And what that really means is that I will take it and then I will throw it away. Okay, that's what this, and unfortunately they caught on to this. I was like, I've said I'll give it a good home, but if I don't sell it good enough, they're like, no, you're just going to throw it away. And I had to be on my P's and Q's, right? Well, there's this.
I was at those quintessential days of getting rid of garbage out of the cellar that was definitely 90% garbage. But I was like, all I wanted the video games. And I literally saw this guy carrying
like
a full
Germany.
Box of video games out to the trash. And I was like, all I asked was for the video games. And you're trashing my video games. Like, could I not get one thing? Like, really? And, of course, that scumbag who stole Grandpa's stamp collection also stole some of
it. Son of a bitch. Yeah, that's a whole other story in and of itself. A family member one time stole a whole bunch of stuff from my dead grandpa and then sold it on eBay, and then we sold him and he went to jail. Anyway, listen. So here's this other...
And he killed a guy, too.
Oh, and he killed...
Vehicular manslaughter.
Yeah.
Should we start a whole second podcast about the hoarder tendencies of the Woodworth family?
Hey, I've been broken at my hoarding. Me and the old lady, we just purge once a year all the things that we haven't touched in like a year, more than a year. They just go.
That's,
they just go out of the
impressive.
House.
That's impressive. The kids are the last thing to go. I get it.
Hey, all of my possessions, I swear. Now, listen, I live in a house full of stuff. Don't get me wrong. There's stuff in my house. There's stuff in every room. I get it. My possessions, I swear to God, if it other than just furniture, which I don't care about. Whatever I move to, I will pick the proper furniture for each room, right? I'll probably just throw it out and pick new furniture because that's the fun of moving. And I keep trying to tell that to mom. She doesn't care. So anyway, look, but I have literally under 10 boxes and totes in my basement. That's everything that I would need to take anywhere. I'm like, that's it.
That's great.
I could fit it in one fucking truck. So this is the other thing mom didn't like. So I told her, I said, hey, what about this little bookshelf? This is really nice. I would really like this bookshelf. And I was trying to sell it. She was just like, you can have that when I'm dead. And I was like, so what? Like, hey. And I looked at her. I was, and this is everybody in the room with me. I was like, so I guess 2022 it's mine or no?
And
it's,
oh, Aaron.
Hey, my sister and mom were fucking pissed. You know what I mean? Laugh though. My brother-in-law, Tom, he had a good chuckle about it. he likes that joke a lot. So
it's not, but you know what? You're not wrong. That's what I started doing when I've had those conversations with my family members. I'm just like, you know what? That's fine. And I just whip out a piece of paper and pencil and I'm like, shopping list, Faith's bookshelf.
Hey,
and then I put it in my backpack.
Speaking of other fun hoarding things and how bad hoarding is and how it can like infect your mind and stuff like that. Hey, when my dad was diagnosed with terminal cancer, he pulled me close one day and he said, hey, I want you to make sure all this stuff gets taken care of. Okay. All of his things. I'm talking, he said all of it. And I literally went, I leaned in and I was like, I went, it's all going in the fucking trash. Every fucking thing. Everything. Aww. The second you can't stop me, it will be on a garbage truck. And
oh,
it 100% was. And it felt great. It felt great on the inside right here. So
yeah, that makes sense.
I just wish the dad would have had that special father-son moment where he brought out his special porno mag and be like, this is the one I've masturbated to the most. This is the most precious masturbation mag. I want you to cherish this one because this could have been a couple more brothers and sisters that you never had.
Hey,
here they are on the page. Look, here's one brother and sister on the page.
Dad had a porn collection that was only rivaled by a big box porn store. I mean, you would have to go to the Walmart of hard copy pornography to even say, I'm like, this is small potatoes. I could have started a vintage porn shop the day my dad died, and it would have crushed.
It's a real shame that there isn't a big box store for porno just called BJ's.
BJ's Wholesale Club.
Yeah, exactly. And look, I can't tell you boys just like how much I sympathize and I understand, and I'm so sorry to hear this. And it's good to know though that your upbringing hasn't affected either of you in any way, shape, or form.
We're totally fucking well adjusted, man. So I guess without further ado, should we get into tonight's topic, or does your song belong somewhere in tonight's, Jeremy?
I'm trying to figure out how far into it we should get it, but we could start it off.
Listen,
with it.
I didn't write a proper diatribe for tonight at all.
I rolled out of bed today.
I didn't.
Oh gosh.
No, Wendy was gay.
Tonight, we are going over the 2006 Tromaville classic, Poultrygeist, in celebration of Fansgiving. Shout out Charlotte for the big suggestion. We're kicking off Fansgiving with sweet Charlotte. I don't know how to pronounce her last name. I just look at it and there's too many letters and I've given up every time. I also, hey, fun story about listener Charlotte. She's very, very sweet, young lass, listener of the show. Shout outs. She would come up to open mic night at the Wits End, and I'd met her at least a half dozen times. And she was like, hey, can you sign me up for the list? Well, the way I would do the list is just put it on my phone. And then I was just like, when she talked to me, I couldn't. This is, keep in mind, I've interacted with her four or five times. I should know her name, right? Didn't remember it. Okay. So on the list, I just put her as that. I put her as some girl.
Oh, that's better.
And then later in the night, and in the back of my mind, I was like, I'll go ask somebody and they'll tell me what Charlotte's name is. And then I'll fix this on the list. Right. And so As I was doing this, she finally, I didn't ask anybody, and it was her part, and she was like, hey, where am I up on the list? And not thinking, I pulled up the list on my phone, and she's like, am I some girl?
Oh my God, Eric.
And I was like, you're not just some girl. You're not any girl. You're some girl, okay? You are some... and then she really didn't like that. And then, anyway,
is that like the band of Sum 41?
Yes, yes, that is accurate.
I love you, boys, so much.
But no, so shout out Charlotte. Thanks for giving us Poultrygeist. My second favorite bird based movie about murder. So,
by the way, I thought this movie was completely stupid because I'm in a movie called Attack of the Killer Chickens.
Yeah.
Where I play the masturbating clown.
Because that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, because they couldn't get Ron Jeremy, so they just settled for regular Jeremy.
It might be the companion piece because Ron Jeremy is in this film.
Mm-hmm. Touche. But no, this is a classic piece of a trauma cinema. I would say they even ramp things up to a level that the 80s don't even yet. Like, I like that trauma is like, oh, is this what taste and good, you know, classiness is? Just anything possibly even tasteful in a film. And they're like, okay, yeah, we're going to do the exact opposite of that. And yeah, there's white people that say the N-word. There is...
the R word is quite rampant.
The R word is dropped constantly. Lesbian, the D word, I think, to describe lesbians, lesbos, all of that is used.
Who even knows at this point? Like, pretty much anything you can imagine happening in a shitty movie happens in this
movie.
What
is the R word?
To talk about mentally handicapped folk.
Yeah,
that's
the word
mentally retarded.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
that one.
Thank you, Jeremy. Which mean? Hey, you know what? I love Doug Stanhope's bit.
Well,
about
I'm sorry, it's even more
R-word.
Insulting if you call him special.
Yeah, no, I get that. I thought I always like Doug Stanhope's when he talks about the word retarded. He's like they say we can't use it anymore because it's degrading, but now we call them like special needs. And I was just like, well, it just means when my friend who I would call retarded for doing something stupid, now I just call him special needs. You understand? You've just changed the word. I will still use your word inappropriately. And when the time comes, I will use it in a way that it's not intended to. And let's get back to the topic at hand, Poultrygeist, which, oh man, if I were to just give you a brief window into this film. Basically, a chicken store gets built on an Indian burial ground with weird eggs, and there's no try to. If I were to try to even write, if my brain tried to start to explain this, it gets difficult. But it's basically a chicken American chicken bunker, which is owned by a Southern racist former KKK, current KKK member, who the franchise owner is a black guy who borrowed money from his grandmother to buy his first franchise so that one day he could become his own franchisee, hires a bunch of idiots and a bunch of ultra liberal, mostly lesbian women are protesting it, who happens to be the main character's girlfriend. There is a Muslim woman named Hamas in it. I mean, there's not I can't the powers that they go through to be offensive in this are strong, and I did enjoy it, and there were multiple times that I laughed. And there's also ghost chickens that make ghost zombie chickens that also have eggs that you eat sometimes that also do. Have I covered
also,
most of it?
Yeah, let's not forget though that this film literally starts out with two teenagers, quote unquote, having sex in a cemetery.
Yeah,
and
yes.
A zombie reaches his hand out of the ground to finger the male lead's ass.
Yeah, they finger the male lead's ass, and he thinks it's, they have their eyes closed, so they just think that's what sex is between them. There's lots of zombie hands touching them. And then there's also, let's not forget the gravedigger who's watching and also jerking off with a full prosthetic penis the entire time. That's how the movie opens. Very, very strong. Directed by the owner of Troma Pictures, Lloyd Kaufman, who also makes a cameo in here as the future version of the lead. Very good, though. Very good. I will say,
I did actually buy that. I was like, yeah, he does kind of look like he could be the future version of Paige Campbell. I get it.
So
I was at the New Jersey Horror Con, and I was pogoed up. Little did I know, I got a picture with this big fat guy. And he's got like the biggest hairdo, like a punk rocker cock, you know, where the hair is real pointy and sticky and everything. But it's two of them, I guess, cock, whatever they're called. I don't know. I just like saying the word cock. But turns out that this fat guy, he's actually the director of the new one. I don't know if it's come out yet. It's called Shakespeare's Shitstorm.
Oh, God.
And it's amazing because it took me a while to figure out where the name came from. They're on a boat, and of course the two trannies are out on the front of the boat while all of a sudden whales start jumping over the boat and literally shitting on them. So
that's about right.
But I hadn't seen many trauma films since Poltergeist, and this by far just made me a fan again because it was so unbelievably over the top. And also, even though it was a little bit of a musical, the musical part was mostly with the chick that's singing it naked.
Yeah, her tits are out pretty much most of the movie. So good for her. Good for her.
I was like, well, it's a musical, but I'm still entertained because she's naked. So
there were so many boobs in this movie.
So many.
Like, here's what's shocking.
Were there naked women as well? Boobs are like guys that are dumb.
Well, there's a lot of both. No, you're good. But like, truly, as someone who is a big fan of boobs and who applauds nudity, there got to be a point where I was like, okay, I get it. I've seen enough.
Like, I'm a woman. So I've seen enough naked boobs.
I also
I have a limit.
I also like that all of Troma's movies are part of the Tromaverse. I really think that this, like, the Tromaverse is the first universe that I can remember where all the movies live in the same place. Because if you watch like the scene after where he first goes to the new American Chicken Bunker store where they're protesting, you'll see that the lead character, he's wearing I Love the Monster, which is, it's Toxie from the Toxic Avenger. So he's they don't know him as Toxie, they just know him as the Monster. So he's part of the Tromaville universe there. And then there's tons of other scenes where there's just references to other ones, like the one musical act where they're talking about like Love is a Drive-Through or whatever it is. I forget what the exact song title is, but if you look where it's that room with like the, I guess, half dozen lesbians all topless while those two are like doing it on the bed, in the background you'll see a poster of Tromeo and Juliet back there.
Yeah, I did see that.
So there's tons of like nice little fucking Tromaville universe stuff sprinkled in there. And one that didn't make the movie, now, as you know, Matt Stone and Trey Parker of South Park fame got their start through Troma Films, a great little one that we should probably do on a future episode called Cannibal the Musical, which I personally love Cannibal the Musical.
I have not seen.
It is
one of my top three Mormon movies of all time.
Hey,
so.
I'll be honest with you, it's probably other than, I think Orgasmo is also a Troma film. But Cannibal the Musical is the first one. Between Orgasmo and that, those two Matt Stone, Trey Parker movies, they might be the best two trauma films you can watch, hands down. Orgasmo.
The sky is blue and all the leaves are green. The sun's as hot as a baked potato. I don't know exactly what I mean when I say it's a spadoinkle day.
Yeah, there's but the music is so much better because it's the South Park guys, and the South Park guys crush all the music for Cannibal the Musical, and it's ultra gory and funny, and it's not as good as Orgasmo, but it is a very, very good film. So, but they
it's pretty much the Waltons meet the Friday the 13th.
Yes, yes. Now, but this movie does actually had a cameo with Matt Stone and Trey Parker that didn't make the final cut. They are actually Arby's mom and dad, and they play both of their parents.
That's
but
so good.
Because they never introduced them in any other scenes, they cut them from the film. But in the official at the end, Arby's mom and dad are listed as Matt Stone and Trey Parker.
Well,
so they still gave him a credit.
That would actually made a lot more sense because Arby continuously talks about the fact that he has to work this job because his parents are retarded.
Yeah.
He says at one point, my dad is retarded and my mom is blind. And I'm like, how did you get made? Like, what is... I was just so confused. Can I read you guys just a very small review by Slate Magazine that for some reason made me laugh? It says, Slant Magazine said, it was superficially turgid and strangely impressive originality doesn't even come close to compensating for its everything plus the kitchen sink midnight movie awfulness. I was like, that's a pretty good review. Like, I heard
it is good.
So many things about this movie. I am sad that I did not find the time nor the mental capacity to watch Poultry in Motion, Truth is Stranger Than Chicken, the documentary they made while filming this particular movie. They had so many problems of like people not getting paid, not enough bathrooms, over scheduling, pay disputes, and then finally one of the restaurants was prematurely deconstructed on the last day of shooting. So, there was just so much to pick apart. My other favorite fact before I turn it back over to you guys is that they were renting, I think, both an old abandoned church and a no longer in use McDonald's, which was the restaurant.
Yeah.
And the McDonald's had a clause that they couldn't do any sex scenes or nudity in the McDonald's. But the church didn't care, so they did all the scenes in the old church.
Oh, you mean where the altar boys go? No problem at all. Do what you need to do, as long as it goes to Jesus.
I don't know why that tickled me so good, but I was like, what the fuck are you telling me? The McDonald's has a higher standard than the church does. They're like, hey, chicken nuggets are made in here. Don't do that.
I don't think we'll ever do this movie because it doesn't deserve a review. Is the movie Hamburger, where there's actually a university where they teach you how to work at a McDonald's. But they have the guy who is the owner of the burger place. He kind of looks like Frank Perdue. Very good casting. But he teaches his pupils. It's like, put those cookies down, motherfucker. And then there's an actual scene where they get like a little four-year-old girl and she tries to pick the cookies off the counter and one of the employees looks down like, put those cookies down, motherfucker. Little kid, it's the worst thing in the movie.
I want to thank Charlotte again for bringing this movie because I give it a huge thumbs up for the gore and the mayhem, but I truly have never hated a movie more than this movie.
Yeah, it's a tough, it's a tough watch to make it all the way through.
Can I say,
it's runtime, hold on, one real quick, and you get your chance. The one thing that I had the biggest problem is when I started it, I was like, oh, it's a trauma film. Sweet. Good 90 minutes. This movie was 140 minutes long. And so it's over 2 hours of fucking content that you have to watch to get through this. And the musical part of it, I got to be honest with you. Listen, they could make each one of them 3 minutes shorter. Okay, they tried to make Hamilton and then a full movie in with it, and it's a lot to deal with. God damn it!
I think when I met Lloyd Kaufman, I think I made one comment to him, which I really heartfelt meant, and I said, "Look, if you ever do a singing thing like you did in Poltergeist, please don't ever sing again. Don't ever do a singing number." And a dance. That was the most painful part of the movie.
It was.
Lloyd Kaufman seen singing and dancing. I was like, oh, God, no, it was stop.
It was terrible. Since you boys always do trivia, can I do a little bit of trivia?
Sure.
Yeah.
Hit me with it.
Okay, boys. How much was the budget on this movie?
I will say it was made for just under $60,000.
I would say $180,000.
You are both wrong. The budget was $500,000.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay. Half mil. I went
Second
low.
Question.
I went low.
Okay. Yeah. Here's the follow up. How much did it make at the box office?
Okay.
It's what box office.
It's box office. It's box office made.
60,000.
I'm gonna go 20,000. 20,000 at the box.
Eric is the closest. It was $22,000.
Yes. All right. Good. Good.
I'm surprised anything that Trauma ever made isn't direct to video anyway.
Well, so they did do a limited release in different cities. They did like a couple, I think, in Salt Lake City. Some of the artsier towns, you know, they did some theater releases. And obviously they made some money, but they dipped in, I have it on good authority, they dipped into their IRA and retirement funds to fund this movie. This movie took 6 years. That's how long it took for the script. They rewrote the script over 6 years. That was after rewrites. Okay, they rewrote this more than once.
Oh, God, that rocks.
Years. I found that out and I walked into the lake in my town. I could not believe it.
So,
this is very timely that this morning around 4 o'clock when I woke up, the little bit of TV I got to watch while eating breakfast, I'm like, oh, this looks interesting. Cursed Films. And who is in this movie but Lloyd Kaufman in drag from scenes from Shakespeare's Shitstorm.
But it
then goes into the scenes with John Landis doing the Twilight Zone, which is by far one of the most horrible on-screen deaths of any movie, because the poor bastard actor Victor Morrow was trying to carry like two Vietnamese kids in Vietnam, and this bastard just totally gets cut in half by like a fucking Huey blade that crashed right into him while they're filming. And of course everybody's like, and of course, after the crash, they're like, where's the actors? They're like, oh, they've been cut in half. Yeah, they're dead now. You know? So it was amazingly bad.
Jeremy and Ashley, I'll pose you guys a trivia question, okay? I'll see if you guys can get it. What big, and I mean, this is a big blockbuster film. This is a blockbuster film by a major studio.
Okay.
What film was Lloyd Kaufman in as a cameo role? That was a blockbuster film. A blockbuster.
Well, it's definitely not a cameo.
What if
he actually produced part of the Final Conflict that had Michael Douglas and Martin Sheen?
Hey, that was
if you're talking about the latest one, that was definitely Guardians of the Galaxy.
That is correct. That is correct.
What?
He's in Guardians of the Galaxy as a cameo role. He's in the prison scenes.
The prison guard, the people.
And the reason he's in there is because another famous director got his start, apart from Matt Stone and Trey Parker. That's Mr. James Gunn, who used to work for Troma Films and got his start through Troma.
Wow.
So James Gunn, Guardians of the Galaxy, Movie 43, and Slither fame, and the upcoming Suicide Squad sequel, which is probably going to be, apart from being the coolest alliteration thing I've said tonight, also going to be a chef's kiss good movie coming out.
And I wouldn't say that Slither is really a blockbuster, but Lloyd Kaufman plays a bum in the police station in that movie, too.
That is true. I do like Slither, though, and that should be another Quality Time movie. That's in our wheelhouse.
It's on the list I gave you. Mm, yeah,
I do like
Slither.
I do love Slither.
Oh, man. See, I haven't seen it in a while, but it definitely should be on the list. I agree. But no, that's very interesting, Jeremy, though, about the Lloyd Kaufman thing on the Cursed Films. Yeah, if you guys haven't had a chance to see that, listeners on Shudder, yeah, they have the Cursed Films like docu-series, and that was, yeah, one of the ones listed. And it's crazy to watch some of these backstories on some of these famous horror movies that have bad reputations, so I highly recommend.
I watched the Cursed series. It was good. I like the Poltergeist. Hey, you want to know the most fucked up one? The most fucked up one is the Twilight Zone one. The Twilight Zone movie is the most fucked up of the Cursed Films,
so
because
sad.
Really, it's just, oh, you did a fucking dangerous ass thing and got people murdered on set.
In front of the parents.
Oh, God. So, Jeremy, did you know that? The scene in fucking Twilight Zone where he's trying to rescue the little Vietnamese kids? He actually got... All of them died. All the actor and the two kids... Fuck, oh God, it's so horrible. Oh, it's so bad.
I just said that like a minute ago.
Literally. Jeremy, now you know what it's like for me to talk to.
Were you like humming George the Jungle in your head while I was saying that? We're all getting drunk and we're enjoying it.
I know, I was thinking of sneaking off to the fridge to get another beer myself.
The podcast is an excuse just to drink.
The podcast is over!
I'm Alan Alda. I'm now part of a full-time part of the show.
I want equality. I'm going to go get a beer while you boys talk.
Okay,
cool. Can we make up a fake Joe Robinson, but say it as Alan Alda?
Yes. Yes, we can.
Hi, I'm Joe Robinson. I didn't like the last episode with Halloween 6 because it really wasn't Halloween 666. It was just Halloween 6. I was in MASH.
I'm actually in favor of this.
Another fun fact about this movie, all the lead characters in this film are named after famous fast food restaurants. So there's obviously Arby, who's named after Arby's, Wendy, who's after Wendy's, Mickey, McDonald's, Denny's, Carl Jr., clearly Carl Jr.'s, and Paco Bell, which is, of course, after Chipotle. So Qdoba. It's named after Qdoba. My name's Paco Bell. A couple of other major kills. I think we should go over like the major kills of this movie, which are really the chef's kiss good stuff about this film are really just the gratuitous violence and murder that happens in it. I love where they have the guy who's supposed to be Jared from Subway, the fucking fat guy who eats the slimy egg. His shit scene death where, oh God. So he eats this fucking turbo fucking like toxic ghoul infested egg and then goes on the shitter and has what can only be described as the most violent shit scene I've ever seen, as his fat ass lays on the ground and it just sprays fucking brown goop all over the fucking place.
I think really was Michael Hertz.
It is. Well, the actor who played Jared would be none other than I saw this guy.
Justin Fleischhammer
Joe Fleischaker played that guy.
Which I think was his real name versus Michael Hertz, which is his producer's name from the early days of Troma.
Yeah, and he's been in plenty of Troma movies. Obviously, Poltergeist, Tromeo and Juliet, Troma's Edge, and the Tales from the Crapper, a 2004 production.
So he died in 2016.
Oh, yeah, R.I.P. We didn't even know. We didn't even know when it happened.
Would you be shocked and surprised that he died from a bowel obstruction?
Well, hello, Elvis. The question is, was it the size of a small child?
But I love that trauma movies throw out the idea of making something work as part of the script or plot, and he just shits himself, and like a person comes out fully formed, and they look like what's it called? Frank from fucking Hellraiser, just no skin or anything. He's like, I'm skinny now, and they just leave, and they're just like. That guy shit all over the fucking place.
That's the sequel to Thinner.
God, it was so funny.
So now's a good time for that tribute song to Michael Hertz.
Okay, so Jeremy, you wrote a tribute song to Michael Hertz, who died in 2016. Listeners, prep yourself. We've done no show preparation. This is just what Jeremy did.
When I rolled out of... Lordess, Lordess, you were our favorite fest. When Mayor Bell Goody couldn't pay. Tell if you were Michael Hertz or not. The greatest toilet scene, or being eaten by escalator. That time I sat by you, I thought you were William M. Gaines. If you had a twin, you'd probably ride motorcycles. Lord ass.
Jeremy,
by the way, you couldn't hear if he had a twin, you guys would probably ride motorcycles together, like two really fat twins.
Oh, we heard it. We heard it.
I did hear it.
Jeremy, solid work. God bless you. Once again, you've done it again. You fucking done it again. You tickled
my fancy. Next to Lardass and I didn't even know that he was a star.
When you saw only one set of footprints, it's because the other two were cut off by diabetes.
Footprints and fat ass footprints in the sands. It's my favorite religious poem. So.
Fat ass footprints in the sand.
But I got too fat to walk. You carried my fat ass until we both sunk into the sand and couldn't walk anymore. And then the sharks ate us.
I will mention one other death scene from this movie, and I think it's the guy who's named Carl Jr. in the movie.
Yes,
Carl Jr. Carl Jr.'s death scene. So he goes in to basically fuck a chicken. He decides to fucking fuck one of the chickens at a very intimate moment. I'll let you know, that chicken in the scene was never loved more than that chicken carcass was never loved more than Carl Jr. in this scene. He eventually sticks his dick in it. It gets taken over by the poultrygeist. Bites his dick off war style and just starts shooting blood all over the one Muslim lady who works there and just get it off my dick. And then she then proceeds to take a broomstick and shove it through his ass all the way through his dick. Like, where it then fucking, oh man, it was just, that was probably my favorite kill scene from the movie, hands down.
I'm not gonna lie, it's pretty great. And then when his corpse kind of keeps showing up throughout the movie, he still has it stuck through him.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And then he gets stuck at one point between the wall because of his weird broomstick dick. And I'm just like, oh my God, I kind of want to do my own version called Bed Knobs and Dick Sticks.
It's kind of like the guy with the full M16 in Dawn of the Dead that keeps showing up. So
yeah, it's a weird move.
I do have one audio clip from that guy getting where his dick is getting bit off by the ghost chicken, and here it is.
My dick!
Anyway.
which sounds a lot like my favorite Pearl Jam song. So.
Yeah, yeah. I really just like, it's like, hey, what's, hey, Jeremy, is there something wrong?
My dick!
I feel like I've heard, I feel unfazed because I feel like I've heard a lot of you scream that at me before. And I was like, why do you have teeth?
I didn't pull a ton of audio for this, but we've given them pretty much an hour at this point, so why not? There's this one scene that really tickled me good, where he's talking, Arby is talking to his ex-lesbian girlfriend, now lesbian girlfriend Wendy, to that new lesbian love. Anyway, here's the clip of that.
Well, at least I'm man enough to have a job and support my family at $3.50 an hour. Hey, what are you doing besides trying to bring down a successful businessman like General Leroy? By attacking the general, you are attacking America. Yes, my people, America! The only other place in the world besides France, Canada, Czech Republic, and Outer Mongolia where a rank-and-file member of the Georgia chapter KKK can rise above his humble upbringing and become president and CEO of one of the world's most largest and powerful corporations. So tell me, Mickey, what are you doing besides trying to bring down America?
Yeah! Anyway, that's the clip.
I do want to talk about that lesbian girlfriend for a second. Am I the only one who thought she was a crocked out Alanis Morissette?
I don't know if she is or is not, but at this point in Dave Coulier's career, he fucks that lady, right?
The whole time I'm watching like her interact, I'm like, wait, is that Alanis Morissette? And it's the musical, so I was just waiting for her to be like, would she go down on you in a fast food restaurant parking lot?
Hey, I always, hey, listen, growing up, like Alanis Morissette's Jagged Little Pill came out at a formative year in my life. I thought it was a great album. I thought that hit, fucking You Ought to Know, was fucking a 10 out of 10. And then I learned that she wrote it about Full House star Dave Coulier, and I never got over it. I was just like, how
it
was this?
Still haunts me.
Dave Coulier fucks so good that he made a rock single out of it.
But you know,
about a girl who couldn't get over Dave Coulier.
I know. As mind-blowing as it is, though, Eric, I feel like if you had more time on the market back then, I feel like there are plenty of Salisbury girls that would have songs about you called like Salisbury Steak.
Hey, I'll tell you a fun story. It's funny. I went and did two shows with Tommy Cimbazzo this week. So I had a lot of good Tommy Cimbazzo time traveling to Bethesda in Northern Virginia. And man, oh man, he drummed up this one story. Now, before my sweet wife, I had found this young lady who I will tell you, she, if I were to rate her on a scale of 1 to 10, she was a solid 1. And that's one. I feel like 1 is being generous.
God,
I mean,
Eric.
she legit, if you've ever seen the show Oblongs, she looked like the daughter in Oblongs, just short, squatty, like a real sexy, like if I could say, like a real sexy, like like chick from the movie Troll. Like if you did the troll from the movie Trolls, like a slutty version of that.
So she was also a quadriplegic.
Yeah, she was just not particularly good looking. But I made the sex with her on multiple occasions, and she was just. Listen, as a young scumbag, Eric Woodworth, I was not. Listen, I'll admit it with you. A 2004 Eric Woodworth was not a good person. Okay, I feel like I've grown as a person since then. But there was a particular time where we were watching Monday Night Football, and I was just like, it was halftime. It was actually the Cowboys versus the Redskins. And I remember this vividly that I had had a couple beers. We had all the friends over. I called this girl up as halftime was approaching. Halftime goes. I get in my car. I leave. I go to her house. She opens the door. I'm telling you, from the time the door opened to the time I climax sexually, 90 seconds had not elapsed. Okay. I'm talking the whole boom, pump, bust, done. Okay. 90 seconds. Okay. I've driven 5 minutes to get there. I busted in 90 seconds. I asked her, hey, do you have a cigarette or something like that? She was like, I don't have any smokes. I was like, sorry, that was embarrassing. My bad. Hey, I got some smokes out in the car. I'm going to go grab them. I went back out in my car. I started my car and I left. I didn't come back. Okay. Man. And listen, hey, I was like halftime of a football game on Monday night is 15 minutes. I was back. I had 5 minutes to spare. and I'm not a good person for this, but listen, that happened. That happened. And
did you, did you get all the quinine mixed with the Coke before you left? Ray Liotta.
There has to be some garage cover version of a song about you called Jagged Suppository.
Hey,
there
listen, what one day, listen, if the Me Too movement, if I ever get so big, like, and somebody Me Toos me, it's that girl. She deserves it too. Like, she deserves, like, the fact that I nutted in 90 seconds, said I was getting smokes and left. But like, that's bad. That's really bad.
I'm not worried because I think she's probably going to keep that one to herself.
Okay, we have okay, it's the year 2044, and Eric Woodward's about to be a new judge on the Supreme Court. Oh no, it's her.
Well, this guy, I just imagine like a guy in a white suit coming out like, Mr. Woodward, is it true that on the night of 2004 that you came out and you nutted in under 90 seconds as if you were the Usain Bolt of fucking, may I ask the jury?
Oh my God. Yeah, but you know, there's no way. You know that girl, someone's like, hey, isn't that Eric Woodworth on TV? Didn't you fuck him one time? And that girl's like, no, what are you? Nope, never met him. Who are you talking about? What? Nope. I have never seen that bag of Flamin' Hot Cheetos in my life.
I think there was a football game on at the time.
I was too busy looking at Janet Jackson's nipple. Not possible.
Hey, the Redskins won that night on a fucking bomb to Santana Moss. It was a fucking highlight of my college career. Anyway, guys,
can I say the most important part about Alanis Morissette? Mm-hmm. That apparently she was on You Can't Do That on Television as one of the younger things. And so I've heard that when she has sex with a guy, she waits for that moment and then she says, I don't know, just so that he can come on her face. So oh
my God. This has gotten so dark, but I'm loving this trivia.
Oh man.
I know.
Guys,
I know that's wrong, but it's probably true.
As the movie progresses, obviously Arby meets his future self, who's played by Lloyd Kaufman. There's more scenes. We didn't get into the general, but you know, the final act is a shit ton of like this and that. I think, do they blow up the McDonald's or what? I don't even remember. I only remember the final scene of this film.
I am pretty sure, though I cannot say this is a fact, I am pretty sure that maybe that was actually a real part of the fact that their set got demolished a day early. So I would not be surprised if they filmed it. I am just disappointed, though, as we're, you know, looking through this amazing cast. I am just so shocked that none of these people went on to do more.
Yeah, yeah. R.I.P. They all died. That's
like sci-fi movies. So
yeah, yes. I do know that the end of the scene is one of the children is leaving and driving away with Wendy and Arby, and she lays another demonic egg, and yeah, that's the ending of the film, which is a 12-year-old girl shooting a giant fucking mutant egg out of her fucking snatch is how the movie ends. So
hey, it worked for Critters.
I was going to say, they do say that girls are getting their periods earlier and earlier these days.
At least a lot of Mormon dads say.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. Hey, Ash, where can people catch you at?
So you can always find me on social media at Ashley Pontius Laughs, where I'll update for shows and appearances.
Hell yeah. Ashley Pontius Laughs. I'm a subscriber. You guys should hop on the fucking train. You can catch all things Eric Comedy at ericcomedy.com. It's Eric with a K, comedy with a C. If you're listening to this show right now, Saturday night up in fucking Falston, Maryland, you can catch me at the Horizon Theater with the great Justin Schlegel, also Rob Mayer. It's important that I sell tickets to this, so if you're listening to this on the Monday it comes out, or Tuesday, or Wednesday, or Thursday, or if it's fucking Friday tonight, buy tickets to that. It's important that I sell this show out. All that other shit, Second Saturday Shit Show, you know about that. We say it every week. Jeremy, take us out of here.
I work with retards.
God damn it. God damn it.